We don't want to pray prayer just for praying's sake. We prayed for this conference. You've answered us. We don't pray for sheep. We don't pray for religion. We don't pray. So they said, did you pray? No, Lord, we stand in faith. We thank you for the answers. Do you be all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. I want to teach us this morning, if you understand what we are talking about, your life will transform. The era of struggles will stop. Let me tell you something. The devil is so wicked. He likes to put Christians on a treadmill and tire them out, weary them out, finish them. And the Lord told me one time, he said, an ignorant Christian is going to be like Samson. That the devil will put him on a treadmill and weary him out. I've had people who say in the ministry, they have burnout. I don't know what burnout is. I don't know if I've ever taken vacation. I don't even remember vacation. But the Lord refreshes me all the time. I drove once from Canada to here. Obika was calling me, Pastor, where are you? I said, I'm in Poconos. He said, Poconos. I said, I'm home. I drove almost 8 hours and I got home, got on my computer and walked the 12th night, 12 midnight, walking with Pastor Chuka, doing the lives and that thing, till 12 midnight. Somebody said, Pastor, where did you get your strength? I said, every Christian has the same strength. The Lord is the strength of our life. And we can always do all things through that strength. We don't put limitation on yourself. It's only when you want, you can limit yourself. But if you want to operate by the power of Jesus Christ, there's no limit. Can I hear amen? Amen. So what we're trying to share is what will help us to live in the spirit. To live in the spirit. To live in the realm where the power is. The realm that controls the natural. Which the spiritual life is so real. It's more real than the natural life. And so the text that you people choose, which I'm still talking about, is about knowing Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:2, it says, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And yesterday, we said, how could a man like Paul, with all the education he had, he was a very accomplished scholar. He had knowledge. So he knew about the knowledge of the scholars. And he was somebody deep in revelation in the things of God. He knew the law. He said concerning the law, perfect. He was a renowned Pharisee who was a real Hebrew, very, very well educated in the laws of Moses. He understood the system of the Old Testament. He was so zealous about it that he put people in jail who didn't obey the law. And how can this man write a church and said, I'm now determined. I have made up my mind that if I come to you, that I don't want to know anything except Christ and him what? Crucified. How did he arrive at this? And then we began to talk about what Jesus himself said, focusing us, directing us to himself, because it is in him there is life. And you got to know him to have eternal life. So he brought life. And if people didn't know him, they would not experience this life. So he came introducing himself. And let me tell the church that the Holy Spirit has one message. It's about Jesus. Because God has no other plan for man except Christ Jesus. He's the only hope of glory. There's no other hope of glory. And so we talked about what Jesus said about himself, how he told the Pharisees, you do all this, your quiet time, just studying the Bible, but studying the Bible will not give you life. Life is in me. I'm a person. Jesus is a person. He said, all that the scripture will do is to point you to me, to make me real to you. When you read the Bible, the Holy Spirit uses the word to reveal to you the living Christ. He uses the word to show you the word that was made flesh. Jesus has to be flesh, has to be real, has to be a personality that you deal with so that your communion with him will be awesome. And so we talked about that, and then we finally said, why did Paul write this thing? Paul wrote this thing because, you see, his heart was broken. The church was full of carnal people. Don't forget that the church just started. The church just started. It was established after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It just started. So they had a lot of carnal people. And he was so worried, so bothered, that what he was seeing, that these people would not be able to carry this work on. Because he knew what the devil was going to do. The man cried about it. He saw, he even said, it's only one man I know who cares about the things of Christ. Only one man. Who is that person? Who is that person? Timothy. He said, of all the people in all the churches, only one man cares about the things of Christ. The others care about the things of themselves. That will tell you the level of carnality he was dealing with. Only one man. I don't know how many of us here understand what it means to care about the things of Christ and not the things of yourself. Only one man. In the entire church, only one man. He said, you know him, that he's the only one who cares about the things of Christ. And he said, it's my dear son in the ministry. So he was so heartbroken that the way he saw the church was what Jesus was seeing. When Jesus saw people, he said, they are like sheep without what? Shepherds, they are trooping all over the place. That is happening today. And the reason it's happening is because people are not focusing on what they should focus on. They are looking for miracle, looking for power. That's not what you look for. And because we are not getting the knowledge that builds the Christian life, the Christians are weak and carnal, ruled by their emotions, ruled by all manner of stuff. We don't even know what is happening in the country, in the spiritual realm concerning America. We have no idea. We talk like everybody talks. And I'm asking myself, then how do we pray for this country and pray the will of God when we can't discern what is happening spiritually? It used to be that even the church was where people got instruction what was happening, because when there was going to be famine, it was the church that told the whole world that famine is what? Coming. Now the church has nothing to tell anybody. So Paul had to wrote the Hebrews. He said, you people, you are supposed to have grown. You are still drinking what? Milk. And Peter wrote the church. He said, please, as newborn babies, take this sincere word so you can grow. And Paul was dealing with a seriously carnal church called the Corinthian church. They were so carnal. So carnal, there was so much immorality. There was all more of things happening. There was fighting. They would go to court. The women there were something else. It was in that church he was trying to bring order in how to do ministry, how the women should honor their husband. It was in that same church. They had no respect for him. They insulted him also. They said his preaching was what? Nothing. Said his preaching was contemptible, was something to laugh at. He said the only important thing was his letter because he's educated. That's what they said. That would tell you the level of carnality of that church. And Paul knew that the only thing that will bring spiritual maturity is the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Today, the church doesn't even know that. They go around boasting, we preach sin. If you hear what they're boasting about preaching sin, you think that Jesus has come. Oh, we preach sin here. Preach sin. It doesn't change anybody. There's no life in sin. It doesn't give life. In fact, the Bible said the law does not give life and does not make anybody what? Perfect. But that's what the church latches onto. That's what the church preaches on. That's what I had most of my life as a Christian. It's the law. It's the, you should be those. You should do this. They taught us all that. But I ended up a weak Christian. Ask her. No victory. Nothing. To the extent that I will see demons in my house mocking me. I didn't know what to do. I had no faith to deal with it. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I was carnal. I was a baby. I knew next to nothing. And I was a victim. But talk of zeal, very zealous. So the church today is focusing on what God didn't tell us to focus on and teaching what God didn't tell us to teach. Paul knew, because he wrote to the Ephesians, he said, that God has put in the church, pastors, evangelists, that they should prepare you for the work of the ministry by teaching you to know who? Jesus Christ. I'm pretty sure you will see why. You will see it here. He said that's what brings maturity, the knowledge of Christ Jesus. He said when you come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, you grow into maturity. Is that what he said? Come, I'm asking you. That's what he said. When you come to the knowledge of Christ Jesus, you grow into spiritual maturity. So he said to the Corinthians, since you are this kind of, I have determined that when I come to you, there's only one thing I want to bring to you, and that's the knowledge of Jesus. Because that's the only thing that can transform your life from this carnal state where you are into spiritual maturity. Are you following me? Are you following me? That's why he wrote that. For I'm determined not to know anything among you except Christ and him crucified. Because that's the only knowledge that changes a man. And the church is not preaching it. Brethren, I want you to check if I'm lying. Don't you see weakness? Don't you see the church trooping around? Trooping, looking for help. Anywhere they hear something, they come pray for me. The next day they hear something, they go there, pray for me. The other day they go there, pray for me. And we just don't even know what is going to happen. Just doing religion. But the Holy Spirit said to us, looking unto who? Jesus. The what? And he said, your faith comes from there. And that faith is what gives you victory all the time. And so the enemy doesn't want the church to know Jesus. He's working hard to blind people. Paul said, if this gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, if people don't know it, he says, the God of this world that is what? Blinding them so they don't know it. He will stop you. He won't want you to know Jesus. He won't. Because he's the light of the world. And he blinds you from the light. You have not, there is no other source of light. His life, if he blinds you from Christ, you have no other source of life. You will dry up. Jesus said, if you are cut off from me, you will dry up. And you cannot bear fruit. It's not possible. So we need to know that what we are talking about this weekend is very crucial. You know, I started to talk about this in the Bible study on Thursday. And if you have opportunity, get that CD, it will help you. So, in 2 Peter 2:1, I'll show you what the enemy does here. But there were also false prophets in Israel, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will cleverly teach destructive heresies and even deny. Who? Who would they deny? The Lord. They would say, no. You don't teach him. You don't talk about him. Who bought them? And bring on themselves swift destruction. So we need to understand that so that we know the battle that we should be fighting, so we don't be fighting the wrong battle and then losing the real battle. The battle we fight, the battle of faith, is the battle to know Jesus Christ. Because those that know their God, they shall be what? Strong and do exploit. In Christ Jesus, all the blessings that God has for you is there. Every work of God for you and for me is in Christ Jesus, and it's accomplished there. That's why it is. The work that will make you live the Christian life, the work that will make you live the godly life, the work that make you live a healthy life, the work that will make you live a prosperous life, the work that make you walk in all the glory of God is all accomplished in Christ Jesus for you to come and take and walk in it. You see why the devil will block you from hearing it? It's like I put money in the bank for you, and if I want you not to use it, I can confuse you and say that bank has nothing for you. And as long as you believe that it has nothing for you, you won't get, take the money and you'll do without. Look at what the scripture says. 2 Peter 1:3. by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. Did I hear right? God has what? Given us what? Everything. But we go back to God and ask for God to give me something. But God says, I've given you everything you need to live a what? God life. As his divine power has given us, quick translation. Okay, bye. Oh my God. And his divine power has given us all things, not some, that pertain to life and what? Godliness. But it comes to us, how? Through the knowledge of him who called us by, who is the one that called us? Christ Jesus called us. It comes through knowing him. It comes through knowing him. If you don't know him, you wouldn't know what he's giving you. If you don't know what he's giving you, you will not employ it in your life. And if you don't employ it in your life, you will not live the godly life that God wants you to live. Verse 4. New Living Translation is what I have. Verse 4. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us what? Great and what? Precious promises. These are the promises, women of God, Christians like me. This is what the Holy Spirit wrote for us. These are the promises that enable you. These are the things that will enable you to share in his what? Divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desire. He said, these are the promises that will enable you to escape the desires of the flesh. To begin to live the divine nature. To live the life of God. To live the divine nature. To live the divine nature. Everybody say divine nature. He said, these are the promises that will enable you to share his divine nature. And I asked the Lord, I said, what does it mean to share his divine nature? He said, well, you know, it means simple. Very, very simple. He said, through these promises, you acquire eternal life. You acquire the life of God. You accept and receive the divine life that Christ came to give. I've come to give you what? Life. And give you life how? That's the nature of God. It's through these promises that we acquire the new nature of righteousness, the new nature of holiness that we are created in Christ Jesus. It's through this promise that this life is imparted in us, that we get the divine nature imparted in us. Church, it is through this promise that not only do you get this life imparted in you, but the spirit of the living God, the very spirit of the very God, takes residence in you, and the power that powers you because God himself. So you can now say to the flesh, no, you can't do this. But the church won't teach it. The thing that God gave you so that you escape the lust of the flesh, you don't know it. So what do? You try to engage your flesh by your flesh. By your flesh. You discard Jesus. You look away from Jesus. And then you face your flesh. You say, I'm no more going to tell lies. I'm going to change. Really? And Jesus taps you. He says, hey, without me, you cannot do this. Listen, your good desire is wonderful. But hey, turn around. I'm divine. This thing you want to do comes from me. I supply you the life like a tree supplies the branch. The life comes from me. The life you want to live is not your life. Comes from me. The life is in me. And he that has the Son has the life. Am I communicating at all? So you see, the struggle that I had then, sincere Christian, wanting to live holy, wanting to do the will of God, but I was failing. I was failing. I failed and failed and failed. If I was ever blessed, I didn't know it. There was nothing in my life that showed the glory of God? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And yet, every day we go to church, we are hammered with what we should be doing, with what the Lord says. This is a Christian. A Christian should do. You know, I was preaching in one of our services. I said, all that thing they taught us is like a beautiful car without a key. Because the only thing that can start that car is faith. Because without faith, it's what? Impossible to please God. But I'm told to please God, but I'm not taught about faith. So here I want to please God. I want to drive a car without a key. And I'm frustrated. And the Bible says the key. Somebody say key. Say the key is the promises. Oh, somebody praise the Lord. So the promises of God, the main goal of these promises, the entire goal, the entire focus of Christ coming. I want you to hear this. The entire story, the entire thing that Christ came to achieve for you and for me is to restore us to the nature of God. In that nature, every other thing follows. Can I hear amen? Amen. It's to restore us to the glory of God. Man has sinned and fallen short of what? What is that short of the glory? We lost the nature of God. We lost that nature. We acquired another nature. And Jesus came to restore us to that nature of God. To bring us back to that glory. Do you know what redemption is? What is redemption? Huh? Huh? What is redemption? When you say, I want to redeem my image, what are you talking about? Restore. Want to restore your image. Redemption is to restore you to the glory of God. He said, hey, you lost your dignity. You want to redeem your dignity. It's to restore your what? We lost the nature of God. That's the main thing about salvation. We lost the nature of God. Let us make man in our own image. We lost it. We lost it. We fell short. We lost it. And Christ came to restore us to that nature of God. And when he came, church, when he came, if you now come to Christ, you are that's being born again. The born again is to create you new, to give you back the nature of God. That's what born again means. To give you a new life, create you new, and give you the nature of what? God. Created in true holiness and righteousness. That's being born again. And that nature of God, out of that nature of God you have now, listen to me, out of that nature of God you have now, you become a child of God. My children are my children because they have my nature. Because you have the seed of God, because you have that nature of God, you become a child of God. You become a member of his family. You become somebody that can inherit all the blessings of who? Of God, simply because of that nature. If you don't have that life in you, if you don't have that spirit of God in you, you don't belong to him. Praise the Lord. I said praise the Lord. And these promises, we call them promises. Can I correct us? There are no more promises. This is what Christians confuse themselves. They say the promises of God. So their mind goes to something in future. And that's where we all fall. I used to think like promises of God. So I'm waiting for the promise. Immediately we talk of promise, we think of future. Faith is not about future. I will show you. These are no more promises. These are realities. They are substance. They are real. They have been fulfilled. There have been what? If I promise you something, I give it to you. It's no more a promise. Am I right? Come on. Am I right? You have it. You must change your mindset, change your thinking from promises mentality to fulfilled mentality. promises mentality to what? Fulfilled. It is already fulfilled. And if it is fulfilled, then it's there for the taking. It's there for the enjoying. It's there for me. And all I need to do is to reach out in faith and take it. So the struggle stops. Because, you know, I think that I'm going to hurry God up to fulfill this promise. God, do this. I have one CD on what I'm listening to. If I give you that CD, I want to warn you. Enjoy the music, but don't listen to the word. Because in that CD, they are begging God. In fact, I will listen and laugh. I say, this is the thing that corrupts our faith. Begging God. There's nothing they're not begging God for. He said, God, please don't. I don't want to repeat what they're saying. 2 Corinthians 1:20. Are you following what I'm saying? 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all of God's promises, church, have been what? Not one has not been fulfilled. All of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ. All of them. God is owing you nothing. You can't go to God and say you disappointed me. No, he didn't. Because he's giving you everything he promised. He gave me everything he promised. Can I hear amen? I was worshiping him this morning, just rejoicing and thanking him. And then thanking him for all that he's done for me. And all of a sudden, he began to speak back to me. I began, you know, if you pray, let me divert a little. If you pray long enough in tongues, there's a stage you come, your communication with God gets deeper. Have you experienced it? If you pray long enough in tongues, initially your mind and everything will be interfering. But keep going. There's a point you come, you will no more be conscious of your environment. The thing goes deeper. Keep going. Just keep praying. Keep going. Keep praying. Keep going. Keep going. You come to a point where you go further, deeper. There's some kind of peace and calm that comes at that stage. And then when you connect this thing, you connect. I don't know how to describe it, but there's a connection you get to, then you begin to, it's like you are digging. And digging, all of a sudden, you dig gold. Praise the Lord. If you pray in tongue long enough, you must hear God. There's no way. So at the point, I started this prayer. Now, I'm not trying to tell you how long I pray, because I don't pray like that all the time. I said this prayer after 2. I was praying till after 4. Continued. And then all of a sudden, he said to me, son, as you have believed, so shall it be for you. Said everything you spoke here, that yours, because you received them by faith. Said as you have believed, so shall it be for you. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So all these promises have been fulfilled, and what we need to do is to know them. You have to find out. I don't mean mentally knowing them. I mean knowing them for reality. Having a revelation of their existence by the Holy Spirit. I don't mean mental knowledge. No, no, no. Because all these things pass, they all pass human understanding. All of them. Because they're the things that have happened in the spirit realm. And that's what I'm teaching on Thursday. I said the moment you talk about living the spirit, automatically you talk about faith. I said everything about the spirit, it's handled by faith. It's no more in the natural. And the life we are called to live is a life in the spirit. I said, Jesus took away the law and gave us how to handle the flesh. It's a walk in the spirit. I shall not fulfill what? The loss of the flesh. And all he's talking about is walk in the things that are real in the spiritual realm which I have given you. Live in that realm of the spirit where the Father is. All the salvation we are talking about, none of them happened physically. All of them happened spiritually, even though he died physically. But the real thing that happened, happened in the spirit world. What? Now you're a new creature. Show me, let me see. So we need to discover them. We need to discover them. The moment Paul began to discover them, and let me ask you a question. Where do you discover them? In Moses or in Christ? Come on, answer me. In Christ. You see why the knowledge of Christ is key? Because that's where you find the things that will help you live the godly life, help you live the life of glory, that will help you check your emotions. That's there. That's where it is. So when Paul discovered that, wow, that there's treasure in Christ, he calls them treasure. All these things that Jesus has accomplished for us, he discovered there's treasure in this thing. He threw away every other knowledge. He said, they are useless. They're not helping me. He said, now it's in Christ I'll find. He said, I want to be found in him. I want to be found in him. No. I don't want this other righteousness that comes from the law. It's useless. There's righteousness that he has provided me. I want to be found in him, not having my own righteousness that comes from the law, but the righteousness that Christ has now provided me. That's what Jesus was telling the Pharisees. He was telling the Israelites, say, your righteousness must be what? Greater than that of other Pharisees. Because the righteousness of, because he was talking to them, you know, I told you yesterday how they will confront him and say, who we know Moses, God spoke to him, but you, who are you? By what authority are you doing all of this? So he told them, he said, every single thing in the law about me will be fulfilled. I'm the one that Moses and the prophets wrote about. That's what he was telling them. Then he turned around and said to them, you see, if the one that teaches, see this commandment, he said, if you teach men to disobey them, and then you don't teach them accurately, you are least in the kingdom of God. What he's telling them is that you people go and teach commandments of me in place of commandments of God. You teach the traditions of men. He said, by doing that, you belittle yourself. Remember, he said, you see these Pharisees, they see the Moses what? See. He said, they teach the law of Moses. Because that's the error of the law. Do you follow what I'm saying? He said, when you teach commandments of men and the traditions of men, you become least in the kingdom. God placed you to teach the laws of Moses, but you are adulterating it. It's saying that you are belittling yourself from where you are supposed to be. Now you are less little in the kingdom. Then he turned around and said to them, but let me teach you something. He said, you need another righteousness. The righteousness of the law cannot bring you into the kingdom. He said, your righteousness must be greater than the righteousness of what? The Pharisees, otherwise you won't see the kingdom of God. What he was telling them is that the only way to the kingdom is not the law of Moses. The only way to the kingdom is me, the righteousness which I bring. If you understand me, say amen. I said this. Do you get what I'm saying? Okay. So now, Paul found out what is in Christ. He found righteousness there. He found life there. He said, Christ is my life. He found everything he needed right there. And he threw away all this other knowledge and said, wow, I thought that this knowledge of the law and things were useful. He said, but no. The things that Jesus did for me, which I'm discovering, is amazing. Look at Philippians 3:6. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without what? Fault. Verse 7. I once thought these things were valuable. Like many churches still teach today. They think it's valuable. Yeah. Go to many churches, that's what they teach. They think it's valuable. Because they don't have revelation. Let it sink into you. They think it's valuable. You go to church a whole year, 2 years, you won't hear about Jesus. It's about the laws of Moses. Because they think it's valuable. And yet the Bible makes it clear, the law makes nothing worth perfect, but a bringing in of a better way. And that's the better way. Now he says, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them what? Worthless. Why? Why? Come on, why? Come on, why? Because of what? Why? Because it is what Christ has done that has provided you the things that can make you live this godly life. It's what he did, the life he brought you, Chichi, the life he gave you. That life we didn't have it before. And we can't leave it unless you got it from him. So he brought us life. And because now we have that life, we can now live that life. He said, because of what Christ has done. He said, I used to think, wow. He said, so it is really in Christ there is hope. The only hope of the world is in Christ. And he said, Christ is my all and all. Can somebody praise the Lord? He said, I found out he's all I need. He's my completeness. I don't need anything to make me complete. Jesus and I, we are okay. God bless you, people. How many of you are following me? I want you to have a paradigm shift and focus where the thing is. Where God has provided you all things that pertain to life and what? It is in Christ. That's why it is. If you don't go find it, you will miss out. You'll be struggling. You want to change yourself. Stop trying to change yourself. You already have been changed. Look at Philippians 3:3. For we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly what? Circumcised. We rely. Read it for me. We put no confidence in what? You see what Paul found out? He said, in Christ is everything I need for life and godliness. So now I rely on all these things that Christ has done. The promise fulfilled for me. I rely on it. He said, that's how we worship God, is the Spirit. We worship God in the Spirit. We don't rely on carnal things. Our weapons of warfare are not carnal. We don't rely on carnal things. We rely on spiritual things that have been done for us in Christ. In the realm you don't see, but that thing is there, is there, is there, is there, is there. It's there. Walk in the Spirit, and then you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's in the Spirit, not in the carnal. It's in the Spirit. Tap somebody that say it is in the Spirit. And it's in Christ. That's why it is. Because you can't see it with your physical eye, but it is real. It's real. It's real. We put no confidence in this carnal thing, carnal effort. They told me every day, Sunday, you have to be holy. I tried, failed. I was miserable. Because I wasn't holy. I didn't meet the standard of God. I was miserable. And my wife, I don't know whether she was better than me, but I think we were on the same boat. Because she told me that she had headache. This is true, she's here. He said, I live the headache every day, trying to be holy. He said, every day I will tell Jesus to please come. This is too hard. I can't do it. Please, come and take me. The struggle of ignorance. The disaster of ignorance. The shame of ignorance. You can't afford to be ignorant. You can't. You just can't. Because there is something that God provided for you and me that will help us do that thing we're trying to do. It is not in the flesh realm. It is not. We have no confidence in the flesh. It's in the spirit realm. It is in Christ Jesus. Can somebody shout hallelujah for me? So that the righteous just flourishes like the palm tree. The branch flourishes because of the vine. Have you seen a branch struggling? What does a branch do? Just rest. That's what Jesus said. He said, rest in me. Trust in me. Abide in me. If you are cut off from me, trying to do it in this realm, you will dry up. and men will trample upon you. You lose spiritual authority. So now, these things are received by faith because they're there. They are received by faith because they are there in the spirit realm. And so, the Bible tells us what faith is. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things, what? Not seen. Now, I want to tell us something. Can you put up that Hebrew 11:1 for me? Faith in King James Version. Okay, leave it like this. Leave it there. Now, faith is the substance of things, what? Hoped for. I want to deal with it now. Please listen to me. Hoped for. It was hoped for. It was what? Hoped for. There was a time it wasn't there. It was a time of hoping for it before Christ came. These things that God promised us that will help us live this life, eternal life that God promised us, the nature of God that God restored us, was not there. It was hoped for. At the time of the prophet, it was hoped for. So there was a time faith was not really there because there was nothing to believe. Let me show you an example. For instance, there was a time eternal life was not available. This life we're living, called Christian life, it's just the eternal life of God, that the life of God, it's life of the Spirit. There was a time it was not available. Let me show you another example. Look at Hebrews 9:8. By this, the Holy Spirit indicating, by these regulations, the Holy Spirit revealed that the entrance to the most holy place was not freely what open as long as the tabernacle and the system it represented were still what in place. There was a time access to God was not available. The promises have not been fulfilled. We're just hoping because the prophet says. Are you following me up to here? If you are following me up to here, say amen. If we leave you behind, I want to see your hand so that we can bring you up well. There was a time the promises were not fulfilled. That was before Christ came. But there were promises at the time. And because there were promises, they were being hoped for. If I make you a promise, you can only hope. But the day I give it to you, you don't hope. Is that right? You get what I'm saying? So there was a time he said even the way to God was not revealed yet because it was not available. So people will worship God from a distance. As long as that tabernacle, the Old Testament was there, the way to God has not been revealed. The Old Testament saints exercised their limited faith in Jehovah. God dealt with them in the natural realm. That was why, please listen to me, that was why he led them by pillar of what? Fire, which they could see. And led them by pillar of what? Which they could what? See. That was why he sent prophets to tell them, thus says the Lord. Why? They were dead in spirit. They could not perceive spiritual realities. Their heart was the heart of what? Stone. They didn't have life. They didn't have the Holy Spirit in them, so they couldn't understand the things of God. That Jesus said there, you see, that's why God winked at you, marrying many wives, because your heart is the heart of what? Stone. You can't understand the things of God. You don't have the Holy Spirit to teach you. So God was dealing with them from the physical, from what they could see. So he would send Moses to go and do miracles so that Israel will see. And even in seeing, they still did not, was dealing with them in the physical. The entire realm of the Old Testament was carnal realm. It was physical realm. It was not spiritual realm. So that's why the Bible says that the era of faith has not come, where the carnal is switched off. No more going to deal with you in the physical now. God is going to deal with you in the what? Spiritual realm, because he will give you his spirit to be able to know the things that are given to you. You can now understand spiritual realities because your spirit will come alive. Because a spirit that is dead in sin and trespasses, we know nothing. I remember one madman that came while they were burying with somebody. He went there. I said, my friend, if they call you up and down, don't say anything. He said, no matter what they say here, calling your name. He said, don't mind them. That's the way they talk. Just don't say anything. A spirit that is dead in sin and trespasses is a dead spirit. There is nothing you can talk to that spirit to see what God is doing. So man was left only with his carnal senses. His spirit was dead. Sin knocked it out, separated it from God. So God was leading them by pillar of fire. But now God leads us by the Spirit. You don't see him, but you see him. The just shall not live by what? Faith. You no more walk by sight. We're done. Sight is over. We no more walk by sight. We are not living in the Old Testament. Your spirit is alive. You can see things that beyond the veil. You can know things beyond the natural human knowledge. You can know things that your knowledge cannot understand. But you know it's real. You know it's there. You know why? Because you are alive now. Your spirit is alive. It has received new life. It has the nature of God. The Bible says you know all things. And you can now do all things. Look at Galatians 3:23. Are you getting anything? Right? Look at Galatians 3:23. Before the way of faith in Christ was available to us. So there was a time the way of faith in Christ was not available. There was a time it was not available. Because Jesus hadn't come. The promises had not been fulfilled at the time. So before the way of faith in Christ was available to us, we were placed under guard by the law. We were kept in protective custody, so to speak, until the way of faith was revealed. There was a time the way of faith was not available to us. The way of faith in Christ, the promises were hoped for. There was nothing to believe. If you are sleeping, say amen. Are you people getting what I'm telling you? There was a time the word of faith was not revealed. Why? The promises has not been what? Fulfilled. So there was nothing to believe. There was nothing. Faith is what? Of things what? Hoped for. It was hoped for. At that time, it was hoped for. Verse 25, Galatians 3, 25. And now, everybody say, and now, that the way of faith has come. It has what? Come. So now the just shall live by his faith, not by sight. Not by sight, because you are dealing with spiritual realities. And the only way you can connect it is you have to bypass your brain. You have to bypass this thing. Because the thing you are dealing with passes human understanding. You need to bypass your reasoning. It's no more by reasoning. No. It's by revelation. The Holy Spirit reveals Things that is beyond human articulation. This is divine wisdom we're talking about. My ways are not your ways. It's higher than your ways. My way of salvation to give you eternal life. My plan for you, the plan of good, which I consummated in Christ, is the wisdom of Almighty God. You cannot reason it out. I gave you things that pertain to life and godliness. God, how? Believe it. Only believe. And you shall now see it manifest in your life. Only believe it. You don't reason it out. I want to challenge you. Can you reason out salvation? Like my little daughter asked me, asked grandma. And grandma pushed the question to me. I ran away. My little daughter, Amaraju, he said, grandma, I was not there when Jesus came. He said, grandma, why are you telling me to believe? I wasn't there. He said, I didn't see him. So grandma came to grandpa. And I said, well, you know, this is women talk. I said, call my daughter Jessica. It's women affair. When the women fail, you call the men. The only way to it, brethren, my sisters, is only two things. Human reasoning can figure it. Your salvation passes human understanding. I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, you want me to teach people that they are joined to Christ, that they are part of his body. I said, Lord, you need to help me. He said, teach it. It's beyond human reasoning. He says, only the Spirit can reveal it to anybody. He said, God, just go and teach it. When I was coming, I said, Lord, this thing, you want me to teach this our women? You know, he said, just teach it. I'm the one that gives the revelation. He said, I'll give to those who want. Are you following me? The faith has now come. Why? The promises have been now fulfilled. So there's something now to receive and say, yeah, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine, it's fulfilled. It's no more a promise, it's a reality. It's a blessing that's real. It's now a substance. The things we hoped for have become substance. The things that we hoped for have become substance. Brethren, the things that we hoped for have become substance. And then let's go back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Hebrews 11, 1. Let's see the second part of it so you can connect these things. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things, what? It is there. It is real. It's there. It's existing. But it's not seen by your eyes. But the Holy Spirit warned you, my daughter, please don't walk by sight. You can't see it. Faith is about things that are not seen, but they are real. The moment you talk of faith, you talk of things that are. They're there. If you talk of God will heal me, that's not faith. I'm sorry. It's not the substance. Because the healing, according to you, has not come. So there's no substance. I tell people you need to know what faith is. If you don't know it, you'll be living in hope and thinking you have faith, and things will get worse. Faith is about things that are. The God says, I call things that are not. You don't see. You don't see them. They are not. You don't see them in the realm where you live as if they were, because they exist. Have you seen how God talks to people? I have given you the land. And yet their enemy is there. Because as far as God speaks faith, God does not speak unbelief. Sometimes I go to some of our members and I want to sow some seed of faith in them. And I say, this is happening to you. They think it's a joke. I keep telling them, this is happening to you. Because what I want them to catch is that the word. I want the word to become seed in them. So they catch it and say, yes, it's happening to me. Yeah, this is it. And once they take it, the thing works for them. They don't know why I do that. I come and sow it. I say, this is happening. You have this. You have this. I keep telling them, you have this. You have this. I want them to hear it. You hear it. Keep hearing it. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing. And hear. Now let me even teach us something. Faith doesn't come by hearing once. Now when you hear something and they teach it again, the devil says, eh? They are repeating it again. Oh yeah. That's what the Holy Spirit said. He said, if you remind them these things, you are a good minister. Why? Faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. I have spoken the word over my life on particular issues for more than 1 year, non-stop. And when I stopped, the Holy Spirit came to me and said, why did you stop? And I continued. It's part of what God told me this morning. He said, that thing has come to pass. He said, because you believed it is yours now. And I saw that thing reverse in a minute. I saw it. I'm going, whoa. Whoa. Praise the Lord. For instance, we have a new nature. We have what? That's what salvation is saying. Is that God has restored you to glory, to his nature. Stop trying to change. Stop. You are trying to walk in the physical. Faith is about things that are, but are not seen. You are a new creature. If any man is in Christ, is what? All things have. I used to live under the law and struggle to change. But like I told you, the more I struggled to change, the worse I got. The more I tried to change, the worse. And then I will determine. I will really determine. I'm not. One time I went to the altar. This is our altar. I went there and laid down and said, Lord, I must stop this. I'm not going to do this. I'm sorry I did this. And after a time, he asked me a question. What are you doing here? I mean, how can I? I said, Lord, I'm so sorry. Are you angry with me? No. What are you doing here? I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I have to stop this. I'm not going to do this again. What are you doing here? I said, Lord, I came to consecrate myself. He said, really? He said, if you can do these things you are talking here, why are you here? Get out and do them now. You come here and be boasting what you're going to do. All I'm hearing you talk about, Lord, I'm going to do this. I'm stop this. He said, you don't have to come here now. Since you can do it. Then go out and what? Then stop. He said, what you are doing is not consecration. You are boasting your strength and what you can do. You have neglected my son. You are not glorifying my son. There's no power in what you're saying. Christ is the power of God. He said, if you want to consecrate yourself, you come to me in humility and say, without Christ, I can do nothing. In him, I live and move and have my being. While I was without strength, Christ died for me. In him, I have a new life. Thank you, Lord. You changed me in Christ. He said, when you begin to believe what I gave you so that you live this life, when you begin to believe it, you begin to see it in the natural. It begins to happen in your life. Brethren, I took that in, and I started doing it. I am not kidding you. We are not supposed to manage this life. These things are supposed to die. And I realized it is true. When you manage these things, it's hypocrisy. It's there. You hide it when you come among sisters. But when you go home, hot water boils. It's hypocrisy. My personal experience, listen to me, it's real. I realize now that you can do anything I'll be looking at. I don't even have desire. It's not even a temptation. I don't have any desire to respond to you. I'm just looking at you. Sometimes I'm laughing. What used to make me boil, no more boiling, it's not there. It died. Because I began to take what God has given me in Christ and making it my own. And the Spirit of God began to work it out in my life. Can I hear amen? And my wife will tell you she got a new husband. My people want to see you pay dowry for me. And then I realized that's what is called wisdom. I went to God and the Lord said to me, ask me to give you wisdom. I began to ask God. I said, Lord, I don't have wisdom. He said, yet the scripture says, if any man lack what? Wisdom. Let it. I said, Lord, give me wisdom to be a good husband, a good pastor, a good Christian. And God began to give it to me. And people started to ask me, say, Pastor, where do you get your wisdom? That shows me that that prayer is being, yeah. A lot of people come to me and say, Pastor, wow, where do you get your wisdom? And that's why I pastor you. The Lord taught me, he said, you pastor people individually sometimes. He said, you pastor them one on one because they are not the same. He said, that's pastoring for everybody. That's pastoring one on one. He began to teach me how to reach people through their emotions. I saw he walks all the time. I didn't know the power of affirmations. He started teaching me how to talk. How to talk. How to talk. He showed me the power of touch. How? He said, do you know, when you touch people, my power passes through. I don't know why our homes are the way they are. We're not living the spirit life. If we live the spirit life, your home will be heaven on earth. It will be difficult to provoke you. Very, very difficult. The love of God will choke out that thing. And you just see Jesus at work. It's a wonder to see Jesus work. It's a wonder. His life is amazing. I never stop being amazed at seeing Jesus work. And that's what we are called to live. All these things that pertain to life and godliness is in Christ. When you take them, you become so humble because it's not you, it's Christ. Then you find the glory of humility. You really find that pride is so ugly. You don't want to have anything to do with it because God will open. So we are new creatures. Tap somebody and say, you are a new creature. I didn't hear you well. Tell him one more time. Tell him, stop trying to change. God has already changed you. Say it one more time. God has already changed you. Already changed us. Oh, we're trying to change. Sometimes we start fasting to change. Why not acknowledge Christ and what he's done for you? Paul said, we live in the spirit. We now depend on what Jesus did for us. Why not depend on what Christ did for you? That's how you live in the spirit, because you are tapping from the spiritual realm. You are tapping from the spiritual realm. What was done for you in the spiritual realm. That's what Paul said. We that are truly circumcised, we serve in the spirit. And Jesus said, God is seeking for those who worship him in truth and what? Spirit. Not carnal. Not carnal. Not by sight, truth and spirit, in the realm of faith, in the realm of the unseen. And then do I want to remind us that we are free? There's no child of God that is bound unless you talk yourself into bondage. But Jesus said, if the Son that shall set you free, you are free. Freedom is an integral part of the gospel. I want you to listen to me. Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said, a slave does not abide in the house forever. He said, but a son does. What he's saying is that you can't be a son and a slave at the same time. He said, but if the Son shall make you free, you are free indeed. Quit me. The Son will bring you into freedom because you are a son. You can't be a slave and a son. I want to ask us a question. How can a daughter of God How can you, a child of God, call yourself a slave? Is any of your children a slave? So why do you call a child of God a slave? Number two, I want to ask you, my daughter, come. It's me and you working this weekend. God gives me wonderful daughters. See my daughter here, right? We are members of the body of Christ, right? Ah, you are not? The Bible says different parts, but one body, right? Jesus is the head, right? He says some are, okay, I want to move her. Move. Where are all these parts of the body going? Huh? Okay, come this way. Where are they? Jesus said, where I'm seated together with you. Where I am is where you are. And then now, how can you turn around and say to Jesus, Jesus, wait, we are bound. Say, no, we are seated in heavenly world. Again, talk on our spiritual realm and faith. He said, where we're seated, don't see, but it's heavenly realm. We are seated in heavenly realm above all principalities and powers. You say to Jesus, no, you don't know what you are talking. We are bound here on earth. And Jesus said, no, you are free there in heaven. For the things that are seen are made by the things that are not seen. When will we live by faith and stop all this religion? Why don't you declare your freedom? Why don't you open your mouth and declare it and say, why don't you thank God every day for your freedom that you are not bound? Didn't the Bible say we have been delivered from the past kingdom of Satan? So, this is my daughter. Can you go and take any of her children and make them sleep? Try it and see. You will see what a mother can do. Thank you, God bless. When you see yourself in Christ, you stop calling yourself a slave. You now know that wherever he's seated is where you are seated. He's seated in glory. You are seated in glory. Then I told you how some demons came to me. They wanted to frighten me. This is physical. This vision is not dream. It's not. No, it's physical. Like I'm seeing her. This one is not dream. I'm seeing her like this. I'll see this demon. And then this part of this spirit is so big. Spiritual things you can't explain. It's so big. And then they towered so much. But it was able to bend over me while I was in the bed and covered me. And I could feel, physically, like personality over you. And I said to this spirit, do you want to know what I told you? If you want to know, I will tell you. If you don't want to know, I will stop. I said to him, I'm also a spirit. I say, he that is born of spirit is a spirit. I'm born of God. I'm a spirit. I say, if you want to frighten me, I'm a spirit. You don't frighten me. I say, number two, let me inform you. The greater one is here. I'm joined to Christ. He is right. I say, when you finish wasting your time, you can. Meanwhile, I want to sleep. For he giveth his beloved what? God is my witness. This is what I did. The peace of God that passeth all understanding. See, the world cannot take it. I said, but you know, the thing that makes me angry, the thing that even makes me angry is that you have the audacity to enter my room. I said, you have the courage. You have the courage to enter my room. I said, because of that, I'm going to punish you. Meanwhile, it was still there. I said, before I count three in the name of Jesus, I want you to come on, get out of here. I said, 1, 2, 3 in the name of Jesus. I didn't finish. The thing went like whirlwind, like this. Wind. I said, stop there in Jesus' name. I want you to be doing left, right on the morning. I didn't see it again, but I believe it was doing that. He said, you're a pastor? No, when this thing happened, I was not a pastor. Except that God began to teach me this instant. That you live in the spiritual realm. don't walk by sight no more. The life you have is a spiritual life. It's not a carnal life. You see, the weapons of your warfare are not carnal. The things that control this natural is from the spirit realm. The things that you see, my son, are made by the things that are not seen. It is in that realm where I have given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. So you can bring it down here by your faith and see it manifest for you. I gave you authority. Gave you authority over all of you. Over all of you. Over all of you. All of them under your feet. Am I communicating? How many of you have ever thanked God that you are blessed? Can I pray for you to be blessed? Stop. You are already blessed. One time the Lord spoke to me. He said, me and my wife will go to pray. And he said to us, he said, you are pastors here now. He said, what you say here is what I do. Ask him. He said, I want you to declare what will happen. That's what I do. I give you authority. He said, declare. I now realize that speaking his word is powerful. Because he said we are blessed. We started to declare that we are blessed. That we are blessed. We continue to declare it. Continue to say it. We continue to declare it. We've gone to declare the number that church will be. And then come of that church. Brethren, I'm not kidding. It's happening. Ask her. It's happening in my eyes. You have to acknowledge these things that God has done. You must declare them. If you're ashamed of them, Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me and my word, that's it. You must, if it's true to you and you realize it's true, say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If you can't say it in public, say it in private. Say so. Say so. Don't stop. Say so. I'm redeemed. You restored me to glory. You restored me, Lord, in spite of what I'm seeing. This thing we are doing is not by sight. It's not carnal. It's spiritual. It is in the spiritual realm. There you did things that changed this thing. I'm a new creature. I'm not what I used to be. I have been restored to the nature of God. This nature of God is created in true holiness and true righteousness. The devil is not my head. Jesus is my head. I am blessed going out, blessed coming in, blessed in the fruit of my body. I am surrounded by favor. The favor of God surrounded me. Because you surround the righteous with favor. Declare thou that thou might be justified. Declare, 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 declare. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, say so, say so. Scatter everything with the word. Scatter it. Speak it over your children. Speak it to every. Come on, you got to say so. Don't shut your mouth. Declare it. Take control. God says to Adam, you take control. He came to us and said, I've given you authority. Take control. Tap your neighbor and say, take control. I didn't hear you. I said, I didn't hear you. I want to hear you. Did you get anything? You live by faith, not by sight. Throw religion out. If you want to glorify Jesus, acknowledge him. Just like, how can you say you are glorifying him, but you deny everything he did for you? You deny it, you don't acknowledge it, you don't believe it, you don't receive it. And then you want the crying for God. Remember me, remember me, oh Lord, remember, remember. Do not allow me, oh. Do not allow me, Jesus, to go empty-handed. Jesus said, why did you keep all the things I have provided for you? Why did you keep it? Do not allow me, Jesus, to go empty-handed. Do not allow me, oh. Lord, you see, Did he not alarm you? Did he not alarm you? We have all these things that they massage your emotion, but they are useless. Why don't you do the reverse and say, Lord, I thank you. In Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, you are giving me all things that pertain to life and godliness. I know them. The Spirit of God revealing them to me so that I know these things that are freely given to me. I'm not empty-handed. My cup is full and running over. Then the devil says, what is it? He says, shut up. The word of God is yea and amen. And that's my sword. If I hear you say it and say it one more time, I say it four times. Once we are challenged, we think it's not true. Once the devil challenges us with physical things, things are not working okay, we think, it may not be true. It's not true. It's true. It's true. Look, when they challenged Job, the man stood his ground. He said, I know my Redeemer living. He said, I will see him. He's not dead. He's not dead. Don't tell me that. He's not dead. He's not dead. You can't convince me. And this man had the revelation of Redeemer. They took his children, took everything. He said, well, as far as I'm concerned, my Redeemer is still my Redeemer. He is God all by himself. Even if he kills me, I will yet praise him. And the devil said, wow, this is too much for me. Because what the devil did was he went to God, he said, that man Job is worshiping you because of blessings. God said, no, he's worshiping me because he knows I am. And the devil said, let's prove it. Okay, prove it. They don't kill him. So they took out everything he had. The devil took it away. And the man said to God, now I will worship you. What kept him is what I was preaching yesterday. God was real to him. He wasn't in church because they go to church. He was in church because God is. All this, they didn't visit me and not coming to church. It's nonsense, my friend. Get up. If you know God is, whether they visit you or not, you still be the one to come there. Say that I come because you are real. Jesus is real. You can't walk me up. You can't walk me out of his presence. I am going to worship him. Visit me. I don't even need your visit. I just want Jesus. That's all. He is my completeness. He is my Lord. Paul said, everybody abandoned me, but the Lord is with me. He said, God, don't put it on their head. They don't know what they're doing. You are my completeness. You are my life. You are my all and all. Challenge came to Paul. Came to him. He said, I know in whom I have believed. He said, none of these things move me at all. He's real. He's real. He's real. He is there. Let me tell you, challenges do come. The devil will challenge your faith. It's not going to be a bed of roses. But when they come, like Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. I have dealt with these things. I have given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. My peace I gave you, they cannot take it. Because what I gave you is real. What they are doing cannot change it. The gates of hell cannot prevail. What I gave you works in all circumstances. Only believe. But when challenges come, we think God has disappointed. He didn't disappoint me. Let me tell you the truth. When challenges come, that's when to sin. The scripture says, count it what? All joy. Why? Because testimonies are around the corner. Testimonies are around the corner. My wife and I, we've seen a lot of it. We've seen a lot of it. But we've also seen testimonies. And I want to encourage you to seek to know what God has given you in Christ Jesus. They are the things that will help you to live a life of godliness. The glory you've been restored to is real. The new nature you have is the nature we lost in Adam. Now in Christ, we have it now. We have the nature of God. And with that nature of God, you can do all things. Don't look at yourself. like Paul said, we don't look at ourselves from natural point of view anymore. We look at ourselves with the spiritual eye. For the things that are seen are made by the things that are not seen. God bless you. I want you to rise up. I want you to begin to worship Him. I want to give you opportunity to speak, to declare those things that you have. I want to give you opportunity to declare them. Declare those things you know you have in Christ Jesus. Those things you know you have in Christ Jesus. I want you to declare them. Say so. Let the redeemed say so. Say so. Say so. Say so. What has the Spirit of God revealed to you in Christ that will help you to live this life of glory that has given you? Do you know that you're a new creature? Have you had the revelation that you are not what you used to be? Have you had that revelation you are not what you used to be? Have you had the revelation that in Christ Jesus you are not under the curse? How can you be under the curse? When you are joined to Christ, you are one body with Jesus. How can you declare that the body of Jesus is under a curse? It's abomination to say stuff like that. You are seated where He told you you are seated. He's seated in place of glory. That's why you're seated.